The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. This is Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast with Joseph Arthur and Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus, on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
World-renowned music producer and songwriter Bobby Blazer has a protest anthem called Red, White, and True. We're gonna try to hear it later. And Adam Ruckus Clark is on the show. Joseph of the Technicolor Dreamcast. We're having a blast on Monday night with Bobby Blazer and Adam Ruckus Clark. How are you, Bobby? How's it going?
Man, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. How are you, Adam Ruckus Clark? What's going on? Meet Bobby Blazer.
Yo, nice to meet you, Bobby. How's it going, Joe? Hello, board
going
up.
Good.
Hello, listening audience. I hope everyone had a wonderful weekend, and I hope we're ready for a wonderful week.
Well, that sounds good. I like the sound of that. I hope we're all ready for a wonderful week. It is that Monday feeling. So, Bobby, what's going on with you, man? Where in the world are you at the moment? And thanks for sending this song, man. We really like it.
Thank you. I am in Nashville. I've been in Nashville since 1988, something like that. Been here a long time. By the way of Chattanooga in Dallas, Texas. So,
well, my friend Lance just got back from Nashville, and he said that it was it made LA look like a red state the way it's acting lately. That it was pretty strict with the old COVID narrative, and that people were pretty much down the line with all that stuff. Is that what you're finding, or what?
Yeah, it's. It's like California, New York exited and came here. And if you're in Nashville, Davidson County, it's kind of blue. I mean, honestly, it's you get on the outskirts in Franklin and the other little cities and stuff. That's where the Nashvillians kind of took off and went to because they knew everybody was kind of coming to town and took over. But yeah, it's a captured town. It really is in so many ways. So in the music industry, they've captured it too. So.
Well, what are you doing to fight it? I mean, obviously you are a champion for freedom. This must offend your sensibilities a lot. I mean, do you have a hard time existing in the music industry there, or do you go along to get along? How do you deal with it?
Oh no, I don't go along to get along. No. I'm the opposite of that. I'm one of the few people that musicians that I know that didn't take the vaccine, that knew what was going on, knew what they were trying to do. Because I've kind of been following some of this nonsense for 20 or 30 years and kind of knew what was going on. I was shocked how many people have gone along to get along. My friends that I knew everything that I knew, and they would go get the vaccine so they could get on a plane and go play with Journey or whoever else. And I'm just like, are you crazy? Are you taking your life? Really? You want to do a gig that bad? But the bad part about it too is a lot of the studio musicians, they're very woke young. The young ones coming up are very woke, and they would, man, if they found out you didn't get the vaccine or anything, they would kick you off a session. They would blackball you and kick you out of studios. And most of the studios that I went in, you had to wear masks the whole time you're in there. And of course, I'm anti-mask. So they would basically you know, put me in a drum room and say, you can't come out unless you put a mask on. And I'm just like, well, I'm here to play drums. So that works great for me. So, but they were just hardcore. They were captured and rightfully, you know, a lot of them had to go along to get along too, because big businesses own them and they clamp the hammer down. If you don't go along with the rules, then we're going to shut you down and we're going to put you out of business. Just like what they're doing with a lot of these artists. If you don't play by the rules, we're going to kill your career. We're going to shut you down and you will never make a record again. And that's what a lot of these people are, because even John Rich, he's talked about it several times about he knows so many artists in town that feel like how we feel, but are frightened to death. If they say anything, they're going to lose their careers. They're going to lose everything. And they probably would. They would probably would lose their record deals, and they would probably, you know, but you would gain. I mean, me and my wife, we've, you know, we scream from the rooftops whenever we can. It's like, if they capture our country, there's not going to be a record industry for you to have anyway. So what's the point in fighting for something that's never going to, it's not going to be there if you don't fight, stand up now and have a voice right now. So anyway, that's Nashville, and your friend's right. It's blue.
Yeah, it's weird. It's so true. I think some of us felt that even early with COVID, that some things are more important, you know, like to speak out against a big pharma takeover, to see a nefarious agenda taking place. It was easy to see. I mean, there was all these safe and effective treatments that were being demonized that had no reason to be. And so it's odd watching this narrative sort of crumble now and people sort of going, well, I guess ivermectin sort of is effective. And it's like, yeah, we knew that a long time ago. But okay, yeah. You know, and it's like this was really plainly obvious to a lot of people. I mean, I just read an article about Howard Stern freaking out about he just went out for the first time last night, apparently, in 2 years. And it's like, really, man, can you imagine being that afraid, that terrified of something? But that's the level of fear. And somebody like him, who's obviously a genius in many regards, a broadcasting greatest of all time nominee for sure. And yet also somebody who's in the media, who you would think would have a handle on the fact that media can be a manipulation tool, a propaganda tool, but yet believes in what Joe Biden says 100%, believes what Big Pharma says 100%. And there was a lot of surprising people like that, but I would say what breaks my heart the most is what you just described. The entire music business is kind of like that. And the entire artistic community is kind of like that. Where's the rebel spirit?
That's so funny you would say that, because my wife, who was in entertainment too in Arizona and here and then Las Vegas. And now since we've been married, she's back here. We were riding down the road during 2020 or 2021, something like that. And she goes, where are all the rock stars, the rebel rock stars? Where are those guys? She goes, you mean they're playing along with this? Are they really playing along with this? Because the guys that we all grew up with from the 60s and 70s, they would have pretty much said, no, get away from me, you know, and we're not doing this. But now there's, you know, And even the country artists. I mean, you honestly think Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash and those guys would go along with this stuff? No, they wouldn't. You know, but there's everybody's.
Neil Young, though, bro. Neil Young. You wouldn't have thought.
But look. God bless Eric Clapton for speaking up and Van Morrison. There's been a few that have, you know, that have come out, you know, and said stuff. So hopefully now with all this going on and all these injuries from the vaccines and, you know, the millions of people that have died from it and are dying from it and are getting wounded by this, you know, horrendous thing. Maybe more people are going, oh, maybe we need to look, you know, look a little deeper into this before we start judging people and putting people down and scaring people, you know? So I don't know. It's interesting. It's a great time to me to be optimistic and go, there's going to be a new music industry or a new art. And it's right now is a great time for people to start creating new art and new music. And all this stuff is going to start flowing along the sides of this captured industry, because my feeling is this industry is going to have a hard time in the next 2 or 3 years thriving. And right now is a good time. I know a few people that are putting in place industries right now that's going to come alongside, that's going to give freedom to artists and not capture them and give them freedom to create like they've never created, like we need right now. We really need like the last 10 or 12 years, the doors to be swung back open to artistic creativity again. You know, I'm so hopeful for that, you know.
All right. I want to talk about that. I want to find out exactly what that is, and go on a deep dive with you on that. But I want Ruckus to chime in here too. And what's your take on what we're saying, Ruckus?
I love what you guys are saying. By the way, before I forget, Joseph, I heard your opening monologue on your show in your first hour. It was a brilliant analysis of the whole Howard Stern thing. Absolutely. Everyone needs to check that out. So in case you missed it, make sure you check out episodes on TNTRadio.live, of course. Here's the thing. It's been a wonderful experience hanging out with you, Joseph, on your show and meeting these other musicians who aren't afraid to do what you guys are doing and what Bobby's speaking upon here. And I realize now, unfortunately, kind of in retrospect, that it should be absolutely shocking to the entire world that the artists, the musical artists in particular, weren't the ones who were the front line of speaking out against all of this garbage from the very beginning. And to your point, Bobby, a lot more people are coming out and saying something. It's not just, you know, here in America. This is going on in other places around the world. And something big just kind of happened. I caught this in the news the other day and I thought I'd share it with you. But you guys familiar with Mumford and Sons?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so their guitarist who had to quit last year over some politics crap, Winston Marshall, he was just at some of Tory events the other day, and he said he was openly speaking out against the same stuff we're speaking upon and about censorship and big tech and all this stuff. And he said something that, like, wow, you guys are going to love this quote. He said, quote, "It seems to me in the arts industry where I am, there is a serious problem, which is completely paradoxical because it's an industry of people who rely on being able to express themselves and they are censoring themselves. And it's almost every week," end quote. So I thought that was pretty profound and was right in line with what we were speaking about. So it's exciting to see that these people are, you know, starting to come out of the woodwork at least. But the question is, why weren't they all like this from the beginning? Because like I say, you would think, based on his quote right there, these people do, that's their bread and butter, is the ability to freely express themselves. Same thing with comedians, any type of creator, you know, what happened to a lot of these creative spirits? Why did so many of them decide to just speak along the same, repeat the same narrative? And I wonder if it's not like what we were talking about with Howard Stern. Howard Stern is a true believer, Joseph, you realize that, right? It's not, he personally, as a human being, with or without a pandemic, he's kind of like, there's this other guy who's afraid of germs, who wants to be a millionaire.
Exactly. Oh no, the Howie Mandel.
Thank you. Yeah. So, both Howards.
Two Howies.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. The two Howies. They're afraid of germs. So, you know, I used to be a little bit of a germaphobe, but I can relate to the idea. If I was deadly afraid of viruses and I believed that they were real, I wouldn't leave my house either. And what I get out of that is the fact that it is gross negligence and a crime for the politicians, the fake scientists, and the media to do what they did to scare a person like Howard Stern to where he wouldn't leave his house for 2 years. Howard is a victim.
Yeah,
he's one of the biggest victims in all of this. You know,
and I pray for him. True.
I hope he wakes up. I hope he gets over it.
Yeah,
because that's no way to live.
No, when you hear that, you go like, "Oh, okay, that's why you were so extreme." You know, it's like because when you just hear extreme rhetoric coming at you like, oh, anti-vaxxers should die or something, of course, that's terrible to say. And it's kind of unforgivable, actually. But at the same time, it is forgivable in the context of somebody who is just terrified of a virus and also seemingly believes everything that Big Pharma said. I mean, even in that article, he said, you know, our president says the pandemic is over. It's like, really, dude? Like, just full on belief in what they say as the truth. And you're somebody who's in media, you know, and you don't understand that there could be propaganda, that there could be financial incentives, that there could be even something darker at work. None of that crosses your mind, you know? It's almost like the more fear you have, the more righteous you are in this regard. It truly is like an upside down thing. But we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, I want to hear more from Bobby about this new music business that hopefully emerges where creativity can reign supreme as well as a rebel spirit. We'll be right back after these words on TNT.
You should hear what Jeremy Nell is talking about.
How significant is this COVID era in the big picture? Is it merely just yet another event, or is it significantly more important?
More than just another stage, it was a massive stage because it pushed forward the agenda very, very quickly in many different areas. And if I pick one up and go with the economy, which is of course very topical and relevant now, lockdown was not to do with protecting the public from a virus. A virus, by the way, that is still yet, after all this time, to be shown to exist. And so you had the lockdown with the motivation of throwing a massive spanner in the works of the global economy. Amazon did great. Facebook did great. All these major corporations did great because they weren't, quote, locked down. But all these smaller businesses, medium businesses, and even bigger businesses that are not connected to this cult were locked down and, of course, suffered enormous economic and financial damage as a result.
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided, rigged.
It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened.
At SalemNow.com.
Remember when they told us that the last presidential election was the most secure election in history?
Well, they lied to you and the rest of the world. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And we're back with world-renowned producer-songwriter Bobby Blazer. Is it Blazer or Blazier?
It's Blazer, believe it or not. It's
Blazer.
It's French, so there you go. I had nothing to do
Southern,
with it.
A Southern French guy. Well, it's a great name.
I'm got kind the stage of name. Holiday. You know, he was from born in Georgia, so here you go. That's about as close to Doc Holliday as I can get.
There you go. So you were talking about the music business, that you had optimism for it. Explain yourself, sir, because I would love to have more optimism for it, for sure. I still believe in music, obviously, but the music business, I don't know. Where's your thoughts on that?
I don't believe that much in the music business. let me explain myself on that. I grew up in the 70s, really, is the era of music that I love the 60s and 70s, but I grew up where it was incredibly creative and record companies would stay with artists and give them, you know, just lots of grace. You know, I always talk about Bonnie Raitt, you know, Warner Brothers, Lenny Wanaker and Mo Austin signed her and gave her, you know, I don't know how many records they did on her, 8 records or something like that. She really never had massive success. That would never happen in today's world because those guys were record guys and they were famous record guys, but they were also producers and musicians and their staff was that. Not anymore. Somewhere around the 90s, it started changing in the 2000s. And now you have people at these labels that really don't play music, don't know, they're just bean counters. And most of them, you get one shot, boom, and then you're out. And then usually that shot is the shot that they want you to be or how they want you to sound or whatever. And that's not making music to me. Making music is when you're creating it and you're putting it out there and you're doing, you know, what, how you want your music to be done. And I think that's going to happen again soon. And I think it is still happening. It's just happening on levels that we don't see in the mainstream. What I'm talking about is great music coming back into mainstream vocabulary again, and people seeing it and hearing it and it being real instead of what they want you to see and what they want you to hear. And they're dictating it like that to me. I do not listen to radio. Of course, I don't even have a TV. I don't even watch TV. So, but mainstream music is so dictated by the bean counters. This is what they want. This is the message we want out there, and it's how it's going to look. Because the music industry has been captured too. What is there? 3 major record companies anymore? 2 that own every record company, pretty much every management company, every booking agent. They've done the same thing that, and they're pretty much owned by BlackRock too. BlackRock owns just about everything, them and Vanguard. So these people have put their thumb on everybody in every way. I know people that are going around that and starting their own industries. And yes, it may take a little while for it to happen, but I know they're doing it because they see the need for it. And you cannot squelch art and culture very long because art always forms culture and how we think and how we do things. And it goes along with that and it influences. And people will not allow that to happen. And I believe that art is always going to rise to the occasion. And there was a great report came out, I forgot when it was, but right during World War II was when the music industry really thrived. Because in times of war, everybody wants music. And in times of depression and stuff, people want to be uplifted. And if we have great music and art, then people are uplifted and they're encouraged. And so that's what I think. I think this has been such a depressing time for people, such a overt slap in the face to every American that people are going, we need art again. We need to recreate and we need industries that's going to allow us to be free to create however we want to. And it's coming. It's happening.
Yeah. I like that take. I agree with it. I think, but there is some other things to consider. I mean, nowadays record companies sign fan bases. They don't really sign artists anymore.
Yep.
You know, and you can get your own thing going on social media, but social media isn't an even playing field either. People have to learn how to be marketers of themselves. They have to be video producers. They have to engage in social media in an overt way. That a lot of people that are like real sensitive singer-songwriter types or real sensitive artist types maybe aren't built for that level of competition. So it changes the art. And also then we have all this censorship as well. And so, and to me, there's a sort of spiritual warfare aspect of it.
Oh, yes.
The soulful things that can help humanity, anything that can empower humanity, which great music does, I'd say, just about as well as almost anything, you know, that tends to get repressed in a way. I do think the cream rises to some degree, but now the cream has to go through, you know, Olympic size, you know, mazes to rise. It's not as same as it was, you know, and that doesn't mean that good music and great music can't rise up out of the equation. It just means that in order to actually rise, you have to make it through so many different weird structures that you didn't before. And also now you can't really speak on these times in any real way. If you do, you get canceled, you get shadow banned and all that kind of stuff. So it's really hard to comment on what people are going through when you're not even allowed to speak on it. You know what I mean?
But see, I think I totally agree with that. But to me, right now is the perfect time for people to start speaking, because people want to hear it. Because we have to remember that we are the majority. We are the majority of people. They make you think that you're not, but we are the majority. And people are dying to hear it. And that's this red, white, and true thing that we did. It was the testing ground for that for me in a lot of ways. And everybody I've played it to calls me back and goes, oh my God, I've got it on repeat because I needed something like that. I needed to hear something like that. It gives me hope. And I sent it to a friend of mine from Canada who's in the music business down here, and he's one of the first people. I just sent it to him. I said, hey, check this out. Let me know. And he, like an hour later, he calls me and says, I've got it on repeat, man, about 20 times in my office right now. He goes, I need it. I need it. And to me, it's like people like you, Joseph, that create, that sense things. You've got a sensibility. You've got a spiritual side of you, and you've got a common sense side of you. And those two come together and it creates honesty. And that's what people want to hear. They're ready for honest music again, and they're ready for honest art again. And that is truth. And you cannot squander or squash truth. Truth always comes out. It's going to, whether you like it or not. And that's what we need to start giving them, is truth in music and in art and everything that we do right now. They've been lied to for so long about this is good, or this is good, or this is a vaccine, or this is good for you, or this. I mean, it's just time for us to start speaking, and we don't have to shout it or do anything. Just live it, just sing it, show it. People are dying for it. I mean, that, you know, to me, that's how I feel. I think people are just in that place right now where they're just over it, you know, and they're ready to give it to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I absolutely agree with that.
You're right.
Yeah, for sure. All right. We'll be right back after the headlines with TNT.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. The lower house of Russia's parliament has unanimously ratified accession treaties to enshrine four former Ukrainian regions into the Russian Federation. Iran's supreme leader has pointed the finger at the US for inciting violent unrest in his country following weeks of deadly demonstrations which have claimed the lives of dozens of people. And Donald Trump is suing CNN for almost $500 million, alleging the network weaponized its reputation as a reliable source to destroy his.
Do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity? TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. Simply visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website and submit your event details, and we'll get the word out, helping you make a difference on TNT Radio.
And we're back with Bobby Blazer and Adam Ruckus Clark. What do you think, Adam, with what Bobby was just saying?
Man, I love it. And I agree with what he's saying. And I think also C.S. Lewis would have agreed with what he was saying. And he wrote, quote, even in literature and art, no man who bothers about originality will ever be original. Whereas if you simply try to tell the truth without caring twopence how often it has been told before, you will 9 times out of 10 become original without ever having noticed it, end quote. So, there's something to this truth thing. It's so fascinating to me. I mean, like, and everyone likes to turn around and repeat the quote from the Bible, even if they believe in the Bible or not. The truth shall set you free. And that's right. Speaking to a very specific thing, obviously, to us believers. But, there is a human desire to know the truth. This is even why people bother to turn on the news. This is why they even bother to listen to people on CNN or MSNBC or Fox. This is why anyone can say, well, the president said this, or the White House representative, Karine Jean-Pierre, said, because why do we even listen or care about what anybody said? It's because we're hoping or we're seeking to hear the truth. And that it's really interesting that you know, we have a desire for truth, and that there is this human need and desire for truth, and that it lives and breathes and exists everything that we love about life, including our art and our music and everything. But the people who are ruling the world seem obsessed with quite the opposite, and they are like the masters of lying and lies. And to get back to the Bible again, you know, it's really interesting, I guess I could say, if you're picking up what I'm putting down here, that Satan is considered the father of lies. So, you know, if you want to look at this as a spiritual battle, it's the lines are very, very clearly divided. We have, you know, this system put in place that is built upon nothing but lie upon lie upon lie. And then a whole series of victims of the lies who just repeat the lies. You know, it's like the telephone game. So how do you combat lies? With truth. So amen to all that you said, Bobby.
Thank you. And you're right. C.S. Lewis, Bobby, is one of my all-time favorite.
I love him too. Mere Christianity. That's great.
Oh, come on.
What a great...
That's where that quote was taken from.
Yeah, I love it. So, hey, Bobby, were you sort of hip to the whole agenda right from the off, or did it take you time to figure it out?
No, I knew it. I knew it. I knew they were up to something. I knew it. Because this is... I could go down the weeds on this thing for so long. I've followed Rush Limbaugh from the very beginning. I've been listening to stuff, connecting dots, you know, even the 9/11 thing. We could go down that rabbit hole. I knew when Barack Obama got in office, I knew we were in really deep trouble, because I knew we were in trouble with Bush, because he set some things up for Barack that he kind of handed the baton off to him. And I thought, oh man, we are in a rough ride here for a while. And when all this hit, I just thought, this is, I mean, think about it. They had people, there's a virus everywhere, and they're having you stand 6 feet apart. If there's a virus in a building and you're in it, you're going to catch it, whether you're 6 feet apart or not. And that's not how you catch it anyway. And you catch a virus through your mouth, your eyelids, all this stuff. I mean, I'm not a college educated doctorate degree person. I know the simple stuff. So I'm just like, how are people that I know that are incredibly intelligent and doctors and stuff not getting this? So I was just, I was kind of hip to it. My wife was a little concerned at first, and then really soon after, she went, wait a minute, this is not making any sense at all.
That's how I was.
Yeah. And then none of this is adding up. She goes, oh my God, they're trying to pull the wool over everybody's eyes right now. She instantly got it. And I got... Actually, I played a show with a guy, and the guitar player, they made this big announcement. The guitar player had COVID. I said, I don't care. You know, I'm going to go play anyway. So we played it. Sure enough, I got it like a week later for like 24 hours, 48 hours. And I was totally fine. You know, I was like, I'm not worried about it, you know, but I do know I do have friends that have taken the shot, and they are no longer with us. I do have friends that, I have an uncle that was fought in World War II, and he died in the hospital, and I couldn't go see him. And That's terrible. It's nonsense. I mean, everybody, if you're breathing right now, you've got somebody in your family or friends that they've killed with remdesivir, or they've killed them with the shots or wounded them or something. And it's just awful. I mean, it's so evil. It just drives me crazy.
Let me ask you this.
In a fallen world. So there you go.
Yeah. So being in the music business, I just remember for me, I'm like your wife. The first month I got like $500 worth of supplements. I started taking cold showers every day. I kind of bought into it. I mean, I had some suspicion, but about a month into it, I was like, this is nonsense. There's something else working here. So I was pretty early on, actually. But so when people like the Foo Fighters say, and Bruce Springsteen and the Strokes those type of people set up that you had to take the injection to get into their concerts, were you shocked by that? How disappointed in those musicians were you? For me, that really disillusioned me. I was really like taken aback when Bruce did that. I was like, that just seemed all kinds of wrong to me. And it also struck me as particularly scary because that had the power to move the culture, shift the culture towards the vaccine mandates in a way that just the news alone wasn't going to do. I wonder if it struck you in a similar fashion.
No, I mean, they're captured and they were probably, they probably got paid for doing that. The bad part about it is for all those concerts, I wish they had the number of people that are wounded or have died from taking the vaccine so they could go to the show, so they could give it to these guys and say, hey, look, this is your handiwork right here. You're responsible for this. This is what you're responsible for. Like they will do Fauci one day and go, look, here's the list of people that came to your show that are no longer with us and they took a shot to come see you. So here's what you have. So I'm not surprised at all, because there again is they went along to get along, and they were probably told, if you don't promote this, if you don't do this, we're not having you here. Matter of fact, I know that for a fact. I know there were people in this town that tried to book shows at venues that wouldn't have them because they wouldn't go along with the vaccine stuff. So their shows were instantly canceled. So
yeah,
those guys that were playing, especially if you're playing New York or California or Washington or, some of those places, heck no. I mean, they made you do, if you go to Florida or South Carolina or where, down south, they didn't care at all. But it was.
What do you think, Ruckus?
I think money is a pretty powerful motivator. I'm never going to stop beating that drum. It's really shocking. Apparently, this has been going on for a while in the industry. And I don't know, I would have to depend on your guys' experience. But from what I hear, interestingly enough, and I'll ask this question of you guys, if you're aware of this, were you aware of Eminem's most recent song? It was from like a few months ago, a month or two ago, like that he has
with
a brand
Snoop
new one.
Dogg?
See, no, Eminem. With,
but he did a collab with Snoop Dogg recently. That's what I thought you were talking about.
Did he? No. There's this thing that he did, and it's like hardly anybody caught wind of it because for a very specific reason. I guess it's very religious, and he's rapping about Jesus. And I guess he was railing against the industry and accusing them directly, the record labels, of saying that in his contracts, he was told you're not allowed to say certain words, including the word Jesus. And so it's really interesting to me that there are people who are and have been stifling this creativity, this free speech for a long time. And it goes a little bit further, maybe higher and more than just money. Where's the financial incentive in telling an artist that they can't or they shouldn't be preaching about Jesus? That there's a much more evil or obviously clearly satanic agenda at play when we're talking about something like that. That has nothing to do with money.
That's hard to believe.
What's up with that?
It's hard to believe. I got to hear that. I got to like read the article or whatever he said, see the interview, because I always hear this kind of thing, and it's always intimated that like for people to gain massive fame and fortune in the music business, there's like this sort of Faustian deal or whatever it's called, like it's deal with the devil kind of situation. Yeah. And I've been in the music business a long time. Maybe they just didn't like the cut of my jib or something, but no one ever approached me with any kind of satanic deal. Maybe that's why I never blew up, you know, yet. I should say yet. I'm still planning on it. You know what I mean? What do you think, Bobby? Do you think that kind of thing exists? And Adam, was that like an article you saw?
God had other plans for you, my friend, just so you know. You were protected.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, brother.
I think there is.
What do you think, Bobby? You think that Faustian stuff is happening, if that's the right word for it?
I think to a degree that it kind of is. I mean, I hate to say that, you know, but I mean, you look at some of the stuff Katy Perry's put out and Lady Gaga and just.
That's true.
To me, it's all driving you deeper down a rabbit hole that we have no business being down. And they're telling right. you, it's like the movie industry. They're telling you in these movies what they're going to do, what they're thinking about, what they're trying to accomplish. And it may be 5 years, but this is what they're trying to do. And I think the same way, they're trying to distract you. And Jesus is, it is their kryptonite. I mean, it's everybody's kryptonite. I mean, he trumps all. So when that enters the picture, it trumps everything they're trying to do. So yeah. I totally get that. I totally understand that. Cause I think it's captured in a lot of ways. I grew up in church. I'm a Southern boy. My dad was a preacher. So I have firsthand knowledge of growing up in that world, but I got into other rock music and pop music and Christian music and all kinds of music. And yeah, I've seen, especially during this, you know, I thought, well, for sure they wouldn't capture Christian music. Well, guess what? They did. They even captured Christian music. I mean, these people, I'm just like, are you kidding me? These people are getting vaccinated and promoting vaccines. And, you know, I'm just like, where are we right now? What world am I living in that, you know, that you're on stage at a church or venue and you're supposed to be talking about Jesus and you're talking about getting vaccine to be safe? I'm just like, where, you know? So yeah, I think we are. I think there is some of that going on behind the scenes in dark alley places that we probably will never know, because, you know, that's not in our wheelhouse.
All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back with Bobby Blazier and Adam Ruckus Clark after these words on TNT.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
I spy with my little eye the European weeklies. Just came in here at weatherbell.com, and they're very interesting looking. A lot of rain for Northern Australia and Eastern Australia coming up over the next 5 to 6 weeks. We've got the La Nina cranking. We've got what we call a cold Indian Ocean dipole. And that tries to jam a lot of upward motion into Southeast Asia, into Northern Australia. So we get a lot of rain over there. Meanwhile, let's take a look at temperatures across the globe. They're upside down again. Very mild along the north shore of Siberia all the way into northern Canada. But from China to Africa, much of Australia, South America, in other words, the places where the weather's supposed to be warmest, it's cooler relative to averages over the next several weeks. This is weatherbell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
A few years ago, Steve Faircow's lungs were failing.
I don't think I had more than a couple weeks to live.
That's when Steve received a lung transplant made possible by an organ donor. Now Steve can do things he never imagined, like climbing 94 floors to the top of a skyscraper.
I never knew that breathing could feel this good. It's an incredible gift.
What could you make possible as an organ, eye, and tissue donor? Leave behind the gift of life. Go to organdonor.gov. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
The news everyone is talking about. TNT Radio, where the longer you listen, the more reasons you find to keep listening. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
And we're back with Bobby Blazier and Adam Ruckus Clark. Bobby has a new song called Red, White, and True out now. You can go hear it on, it's on iTunes and Spotify and all that, Bobby?
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere. Apple Music. Mainly, we're just trying to drive everybody to the iTunes site. So.
And when did you release that?
Oh, 3 weeks ago, I think.
All right.
Something like
so,
that.
And the, yeah. And the reaction's been strong for us so far.
Yeah, I was. We've sent it to, I don't know how many radio stations or how many of the people in Rumble and YouTube and all that stuff. And everybody, I mean, we've gotten back so many requests for it. So I'm very pleased with it.
That's fantastic.
Are you guys? We got you. There you go.
There you go, man. We love it. So are you working on a whole album of this sort of nature, this kind of protest anthemic rock sort of sound?
Not necessarily, even though we've got two or three other ideas that we're actually trying to get out right now, or that we're, you know, we're messing around with. But this song came by pure accident. I was in Ohio at a show. My wife just went with me, and she's from Arizona. She'd never been into a Tractor Supply. And we went into a Tractor Supply, and there was a t-shirt in there, and she held it up and it said Red, White, and True. And I went, Oh my God, we've got to write that. And literally came home, and 3 or 4 weeks later, we had the song. And
that's so funny.
My friend Ron Handy, who's a wonderful singer in town, and he wrote it with us and he sang it. And it was one of those things that kind of, it was, you know, God giving us a sign, and we just kind of took it and go, okay, here we go. Let's go with it.
Well, I grew up in Ohio, and I live currently in Arizona by way of New York. So this is kismet right here. This is like one of those epic explosions right there.
You're
so,
in Mesa, is that right?
I'm actually in Tempe.
Tempe?
Yeah,
Tempe.
I was in Mesa for a while. What?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. My wife's from Scottsdale, so there you go.
Oh, yeah, right around the corner from us. So it's beautiful out here. But so you're saying the Christian music scene's been captured as well. I guess I haven't been tuned into that. Are they up to the same shenanigans as some of these more mainstream artists? Is that what you're saying?
A little bit. I don't think it's as overt, but it is definitely, they are definitely doing, they've bought into it too, you know, just like a lot of churches, unfortunately, have. You know, there's so many churches that have bought into this vaccine and promoting masks and doing all this stuff. And I'm just like, holy cow, you know. But it's easily done. I'm telling you, it sounds like they've done a masterful job over the last 20 years of putting these pieces in order so the dominoes could fall for them. And here it is. You know, when I think what really happened was when Trump got in office, they were expecting Hillary and they panicked. And now they've, you know, here it is. And they're like, oh my God, we got to do something quick. And so I think this is what they've done it. And I think they've showed the world who they really are in every way possible, you know. From food shortages to, you know, what they're dictating to churches to, you know, what they're trying to put, you know, make parents give their kids at school. And it's everything. I mean, I think it's just the whole, the world is kind of like going, what is happening to us? And that's why I think there's the majority of people are going, we don't believe this. We don't want this. We don't understand this. But everybody's kind of scared to step, you know, stand up right now. And I think more shows like this and people come together and talk about things and stand up, either with music or art or whatever, I think it gives people hope and encourages them. Yes, no, it takes one person to stand up. And then there's two people standing up, and that's all it takes, you know? And I think that's what people like you and maybe John Rich and a few people, they just stand up and go, here, you know, I'm going to speak the truth, whether you like it or not, but this is the truth. And I think the more you do that, then people go, yeah, you're right. This is really going on, and we got to stop this. We got to do something about this. And that's where we all are right now. It's time to do something.
It's time to do something. I couldn't agree more. And I think the tides are turning, but then now we're facing a world war that seems insane. So it just seems like the chaos machine is turning up in a whole other direction, right as this one narrative is falling apart. What do you think, Ruckus?
It's really interesting what you were just saying a little while ago there, Bobby, about the churches, because I remember when I first became awakened or whatever the term is, that took the red pill, right? And I was listening to like Alex Jones or whatnot back in the day. I remember one of the big arguments that people were concerned with back then was them implementing, convincing churches to become these charitable 501c3, whatever I've already forgot the official designation, right? And they're pretty much all like that now. And I remember that the complaint or the warning at the time, because this was back in police state Alex Jones days, was that there was going to be some sort of emergency and the preachers were going to convince the flocks to go into the FEMA camps. Kind of narrative, that good old thing. And he might not be that far off from the truth, of course, but I certainly never, ever in my lifetime expected the pulpit to be a place for them to be pushing propaganda for pharmaceutical stuff. You know what I mean? That's just beyond the pale. That's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, Jesus went into the money, you know, went into the temples and flipped the tables and whipped the money changers. I can only imagine what he might think about that kind of scenario. If you're pushing the jabs on your flock like that, that's just absolutely unforgivable, I think. And luckily we saw a number of churches that, you know, you can find them. They don't like to talk about it in the news, but they were out there where they like the preachers and the congregation were like, you know, flying in the face of the mandates to shut down the churches. Because that was another shocking thing to me, that the churches allowed the government or anybody to tell them to shut down. Yeah, that's absolutely insane.
You're sorry, right. Joker. You're right, Ruckus, because what they did was they came into the churches like they did everybody else and said, if you don't promote this, your 501c3 is going to be out the window, and we're going to do audits on you and start making you pay taxes on everything, and we're going to take that away from you. And that's what they did. I mean, they blatantly did it to churches. So
yeah,
to me, it's like, I don't need my 501c3 that bad. You can have it. I'm going to speak the truth. You know, I'll gladly pay the taxes, be out of your hair, be gone. So
people that spoke the truth, I've heard it said over and over again, felt compelled. Like they said, they really had no choice. I think that's how it was for me. I knew it was going to be hairy if I started speaking the truth, but I didn't really have a choice. Is that how you felt, Bobby?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that the truth is the truth, and you got to speak it. I mean, if you see somebody shoot somebody and you don't say anything about it, you know, and you know who that person is, it's your duty to go say, hey, that person is, you know, or if you see somebody do something wrong, it's your duty. And it's the same way here. They're doing wrong. They're killing people and nobody is saying anything. And that's what's amazing. And now it's all these kids that they're doing this stuff to. And it's just amazing that nobody is standing up and going, enough. We've got to stop this now. And if this is about money, it's about money and greed and power. It's the same thing that's happened through all generations. It's going on right now. And it's just it's in your face right now. And it's time for everybody to stand up and go, enough. And when you tell a bully, you're not going to be bullied anymore, Nine times out of 10, he walks away. He goes away. And so if enough people stand up, and that's the proven case. If you stand up, if you take them to court, if you get in their face, they back down. They cower down because they know they're living a lie. They don't have truth on their side. That's why they don't debate anybody or talk to anybody, because they know truth is not on their side. And so there's no chance that they will ever, ever get in that arena with anybody, because their arena is lies, deceiving people from afar. And they can get on their TV channels, whatever they are, CNN or MSNBC or any of those channels, and they can lie all they want to, because they know they're safe in there. In that little box, they're safe. But they will never, ever, ever, you know, come on this show and speak, because they know that you're going to hammer them with the truth, and they don't have that on their side. So that's why
it's all right, Bobby. Totally agree. Tell people where to find you. We're down to the last few seconds.
Man, you can go to the single. It's called Red, White, and True. Ron Hemby, H-E-M-B-Y, on iTunes. And that's where you get the song.
All right. Adam Ruckus Clark, thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure. And Bobby Blazier, thank you. We got to have you back on real soon.
Bless
we appreciate you.
Bless you so much. Thank you for what you're doing.
Bless you, too. Keep listening to TNT.